Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman, and I'm so happy that you're joining us today. Now, on this journey of change, sometimes it could be a little bit challenging. I get it. So I have a free gift for you right out of the gate to help you navigate that change that you perhaps are going through. Go to my website, whitmanassoc.com, and then put /CSA for your personalized communication style assessment. The idea is you will get two reports. One, it will spotlight your superpowers. And on the flip side, it will show your lowest score, which really helps you identify your blind spot. So again, whitmanassoc.com/CSA. I do hope it helps you show up with every meeting you have with your clients or your business and just communicate with a little bit more ease and grace. If you're loving the show, please subscribe, rate, and review. And of course, share with your peeps. We got to share the love out there. All right. My motivational quote today is by Ellen DeGeneres. And Ellen says, it's failure that gives you the proper perspective on success. So why do business owners start their business in the first place? And what are they looking for, or what do they need to fill their soul? And how do they navigate through failure to get to that level of success? Well, that's our conversation for today. And today, my guest is Joseph Warren. Now, Joseph is the host of Broken Catholic, the number one podcast on iTunes for Protestants and Catholics. He is also the host of Your First 100K, a top 100 Apple podcast in entrepreneurship category. Now, Joseph started his first multi-million dollar business at age 19 and wasted away his 20s trying to find happiness through money, success, and pleasure. Now, he made millions, but then lost it all and considered taking his own life. Now, today, having triumphed through multiple failed businesses and many broken relationships, Joseph is best known as the Broken Catholic and the creator of Blow Up Rocks. That's his 90-day personal transformation program that helps 7- and 8-figure Christian men blow up the rocks that weigh them down in their business and at home so that they can scale their income and their impact. Please help me welcome Joseph to the show. So, Joseph, thanks for being on.
Connie, thank you for having me here with you. I'm looking forward to a great conversation to add value to people's lives right now. A lot of people are struggling in silence.
Yes, I hear you. And here's the thing. And I'm, you know, as I read your bio and introduction, you're very candid, right, about the failure that you lived through, right, to the point of almost taking your life and then being able to bounce back. So I think we're really good at talking about success and look at me, I'm successful, but no one sees the behind the scenes of what it took to get to that level of success. So I think today, and you're just real, I was on your show as well. And you pull no punches, you hold no bars. I think you're pretty authentic in how you answer. So I'm really excited for just a real dynamic conversation. So to get us started, just lay the groundwork for us. Tell us briefly about those failed businesses and those relationships that, you know, just kind of hit you. And then how did you come back from that?
Sure. So with the context of my first business, age of 19, an early success, we hit, it was a professional fundraising company for national nonprofit charities. So we went out for these big charities and we raised the money. We hit the streets. We did the direct sales, the direct marketing. We did all the rejection and we got the donations and we gave it to these charities so they could do their fantastic causes. And we took a transactional fee, right, for our services. And it was a very powerful, transparent model, win-win-win across the board. And it took off pretty well. In the first 12 months, we did $2 million in revenue. And we're like, what the heck did we just build? You know? And so we ended up working out the bugs and duplicating it. And we created that model in multiple cities, and we did 2 million in every city per year. Awesome. And it was really, really cool from a business standpoint. However, I worked 110 hours per week. on any given week. So 100 to 110, but I was young, right? So I had time on my hands and I had a lot of energy and a lot of drive, and I didn't have family and, you know, kids and a spouse I needed to provide for. So I had the liberty to be very self-centered, and I did. I was very self-centered, but in doing so, in pursuing all in the business goals, the business dreams, the success as the target, as you know, Gary V and Grant Cardone, I pick on them a lot, and you know, I like the guys, but some of their messaging is it's incomplete. It's greed is good. Greed is good. Go for it. And my wife understands. I work 18-hour days. She knows who she married. So she puts up with it. Ha ha ha. Right. Well, that's not a sustainable plan. And it wasn't for me either in my 20s. So in order to sacrifice and go all in business, it's got to come from somewhere else. There's a withdrawal from other bank accounts in our life. And it typically looks like our relationships, whether it's our relationships with God, with our relationships with our spouse, with our kids, with our friends, with ourself. And for me, like I said, I didn't have, family and marriage and all that. So it was really, I was taking major withdrawals out of my relationship with myself and with God. And that left me in a place of getting the success, making the money, but feeling alone and empty and broken and just dead inside, even though I had what the world said would make me happy. So that in itself, though, in the eyes of the world, that business was a huge success in my life. To me, it was one of my epic failures, because the price I had to pay for that financial success was major failure in all my relationships in my life, getting to the point where I bottomed out. I wanted to take my own life. I had no hope left. I was just living in darkness, living in mega sin. And that was an ultimate failure. And then going forward, I had 10 business failures after that, business success.
Yeah, it's interesting. Queen, his name eludes me, the main singer in Queen. They did the Netflix. Do you remember his name? I'm forgetting now.
I don't remember the name.
You know who I'm talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do.
All of that success, his genius with music, right, that he could see and create. And he had such a lonely life until the very end, right before he died from AIDS. So, you know, you see, again, it's like I said at the beginning, you see success right up front of the money and the fame and, oh, look at him living the life, driving the nice cars, having the big house. And yet the person is just a shell. It's kind of a tragic scenario, right? So it's not, listen, money makes life easier. Let's face it. We all love money, and we work for money. Like you said, you have a family now, you have kids now, we have mortgages. We have to pay for, education for kids. All of those things cost money. But money isn't always the measure to success. And you just said that you learned that. It's interesting. You learned that really young. What made you, so you hit rock bottom, right? You're ready to take your life. What made you see the light? No pun intended there, but like, what really made you see the light where you thought, wait, this has to change. I can't go forward like that.
I'd like to say it happened quickly and that I am a fast learner. That is not the case. It happened over the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
And it was in small increments of growth and understanding. But I didn't, even though I failed in my life, literally failed in my life, and I hit rock bottom and I had to start over and rebuild, and the money ran out because I partied it away for 5 years in Scottsdale, Arizona. That was when I hit rock bottom. Because when the money left, so did the friends, the fake friends that I had. And they were the only people I had relationship with. So then I was left with no one but myself. And I didn't like what I saw when I looked in the mirror. And so it was a slow, gradual process. And when I'm on Faith Podcast, people like, well, did you like run back to God and just like turn your life around? No, I didn't. I'm very stubborn. I'm very resistant. And I'm also a very slow learner. And it was over those 10 or 15 years that God slowly, through other people, because I wasn't ready to face him yet, because I had already rebelled against him, rejected him in my life based on my childhood upbringing and some trauma I went through. And I closed my heart off to God and others at an early age, age 8 and a half, when my parents got divorced. So God knows he wasn't going to get through the front door with me. So we came in through the side doors, and he came in the areas that interested me, which was business, success. And I still had that drive going, even though I realized it didn't get me what I wanted. I just figured, well, I didn't do it right, so let me try it again. Or that was the wrong business, or those were the wrong partners because they ended up betraying me in the end. So let me try a different approach, but the same method, the same destination. So again, I was very slow. I give myself some grace because I was still in my 20s, right? So what did I know? I knew a lot of nothing.
Sure.
Looking back in retrospect, now I can see the story that God was doing in my life. While I was in it, all I saw was struggle. All I saw was adversity, and I just have to get back up and keep pushing. And Joseph's the guy that is resilient. He always gets back up no matter what. And that's what my life looked like. But when you always get back up and you head into the wrong direction again, it doesn't work out well. And that's what the next 10 to 15 years look like, was God constantly redirecting me towards him after I would constantly go off course and bang my head into another wall of self-centeredness.
Yeah. And, you know, we like to think that, and I think there is an element of truth in this, at least for me, there is, that I call it failing forward, right? There's no crystal ball. There's no future mapping that we can read and say, oh, this is clearly the next right step. Life doesn't work that way, right? So we all take missteps. But, you know, I hope that when, as we age and we look back, that the steps we did take, they make sense, where you think, ah, I needed to learn that lesson. Otherwise, these next three things wouldn't happen, right? At least that's how, when I reflect on my life, I see the mistakes, but what I learned from them, or why I needed to go through that to get to the next level. Do you feel, even during that 10, 15 years of struggle, that now as you look back, do you think, yeah, I wish I could have made it easier on myself, but it makes sense? Do you have that same perspective, do you think?
I do have a very similar perspective as you on that, Connie. However, looking back, I see I wasted those 10 years. I went the long route. I went my way, right? It's the Frank Sinatra approach. I did it my way.
Yes.
And God allowed it, because I believe our Creator is the ultimate gentleman, and he's a good father, and he allows us with our free will to choose sometimes what harms us and what harms others, and so that we learn on our own through trial and error. And my life, if you look at my life, it's a series of trial and error. Definitely much more error and a lot of trials. and I'm sure your audience can resonate with that in their own life. Like you said earlier, it's easy to look at other people's lives and go, man, it's just been like this straight road for this guy or for this gal. Like, wow, man, my life has just been jagged turns and thorn bushes and scrapes and bruises. But almost every person, when you dig deep and you excavate a little into their life, you'll see, oh, they have the same rocks in their life that they're dealing with.
Absolutely.
You know, they just come in different colors, so to speak.
Absolutely.
So coming around full circle, you know, I'd like to say, looking back on those 10 to 15 years, that I did it right and I needed to go through that for as long as I went through that, when in fact, I would say, I probably didn't need to go through that as long as I went through that. It was just my sheer stubborn resistance to God that wasted that time. And I wish I could have chose him faster.
You know, but that's learning, right? To be more open-minded, less judgmental of self and others, like all these things as humans that we're really good at, by the way, right? Don't cast stones. You know, do you live in a glass house? So like all those things that we learned from our moms and dads, but they're, you know, we're human. And I think that the human brain, you know, it makes us do what it makes us do. Now, as your clients, right, you coach clients, what do you find are the biggest reasons that your clients get stuck? Like, is there a theme for you that you see frequently?
For sure.
Yeah.
I call it your little control freak. That's how I would sum it up clean. My little control freak resisted all those years and I wouldn't ask for help. To the right people. And so the biggest thing I see with my clients, especially with high achieving men, it takes a certain type of type A personality to really kill it in business.
Sure.
And it's what makes him or her successful in business. However, it's super harmful at home. So though they're winning in the business world and they're making the money, the 7, 8, some 9 figures, they're going home miserable. They're going home empty. They're going home alone, even though it's a crowded house. And they're disconnected with their teenage kids because for the past 10 or 15 years, they were not present as a dad. They're disconnected with their wives because they weren't present as a husband, because there's always a price to pay for the worldly success. It's got to come from somewhere, that time, that energy. So when they come home, they're giving their family the leftovers of themselves. They're giving God the leftovers of the leftovers, most likely. Even if they consider themselves to be Christians and, well, I'm just doing the best I can. And the most common phrase I probably hear with these high achieving men is, oh yeah, no, I definitely got to work on that. Or I'm working on that. Or yeah, that's something I need to work on. And I just hear it over and over and over again, the I'm working on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is another way of saying I'm doing it my way.
Yeah.
And it's the little control freak.
Yeah, you can relate.
I can relate. Absolutely. So immediately, as soon as I hear that phrase, it's now become a trigger phrase for me to see that huge boulder that is weighing this individual down and they don't even know it. They just think this is how life is. It's meant to be heavy. It's meant to be difficult. It's meant to be hard.
Yeah.
And that's just life. That's how life shows up. When in fact, that is not true by any means. That's not the life of abundance that God speaks about. If you're a scripture person, you know, and he came to give us life and to give it more abundantly, to give it life. Give us life. That means aliveness. Yeah. Well, you don't feel very alive when you're weighed down by a crushing weight.
Yeah.
So many of these guys, that's the first thing is to get them to believe that it's even possible for them to have a better life than what they currently are experiencing.
Yeah. And that you're right. It's the control freak. You know, we have blind spots. That's, you know, why my communication style assessment is important. You have to understand your blind spots when you communicate because, oh, by the way, I don't care who you're speaking with, whether it's a client, if you're on a sales call, if it's your kids, if it's your spouse, if it's a blind spot, their perception is your reality. Be careful because what reality are you playing in, right? It's not always our reality that the other people see. You know, it's fascinating. Because I'm a high achieving woman, right? That's who I am. That's why I'm a business owner, right? We forge out on our own. And you just said a couple of really interesting things that I am really good at work. I have always been really good at work, right? That's my comfort zone, believe it or not. And so, you know, my husband and I were married 29 and a half years, Joseph, and 2 grown boys. Yeah. And I could say happily married, truly happily married. He was the right man for me. So it's just fascinating because in my 20s, right, I was building my career and I was putting money away and I was going to buy the house and I had all the success, and relationships were failing because I didn't really know what I wanted for myself, let alone from a relationship. But it's funny, I didn't meet my husband until I was 29. We didn't get married until I was 30. And all my friends were married with kids. So at 30, I looked back and thought, I'm a failure. I'm a failure in life. I'm good in business, but I'm a failure in life. And you know what? He was worth the wait. I always tease. I said, I kissed a lot of frogs to find my prince. But the reality is, you know, 29 years later, we've built a life. He, you know, he supports my business. I was able to go to my kids' hockey games and then do my business on the side because he would handle them at night with bathing and stuff. It's got to be a team effort as well, but you have to have the same vision to some extent. I mean, he never opened a business or anything, but that support, you have to be, in line and in sync. So I often think my 20s were rough, not as rough as yours, though, my friend. I can say that, definitely not as rough. But finding the right person, looking for the right relationships are really important as well. And I just want to share one other thing, because I'm good at work. I'm still really good at work. Now my kids are big. They don't need me as much. They don't need mom as much. But my husband on the weekends will say, shut the computer down before COVID. We're going to a movie, or shut the computer down. One day he said, we don't live far from the beach in New Jersey. Let's take a ride to the beach and put your feet in the sand. He knows what I need, even though I don't know it. So again, I get to find that balance because of someone who loves me dearly and pulls me away from something I'm good at. Right. So it's, again, it's life is balance. I think. Right.
I agree to a point. I like the word integration, life integration. Yeah. Right.
True.
You know, because balance is like, this got to give in order to do this, that type of thing, but really just getting clear on what are our priorities, and our hierarchy in relationship. And I like to speak about this with my clients is, many times, their relationship hierarchy is misaligned. It's not prioritized with who they say they are and what they're committed to. Yeah. Their life doesn't actually resemble, and they don't even realize it. It's happening on the subconscious level, but it's very similar to when you ask someone, in the business, world, hey, what's important to you? What are you committed to? And they're like, oh, I'm committed to this and this and this. And you're like, can I see your credit card statement? Let me see where you spend your money and let's see if that lines up. And most times it doesn't.
Love it.
Right? So there's their intention and then there's reality. And in most people's lives, they don't line up. So it's the same thing in my coaching is we look at their calendar instead of their credit card statement. I say, what are you committed to? Who are you? What do you want your marriage to look like? What's your vision for your kids and your parenting? What's important to you? What matters? And they're like, oh, this, 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 and this. And then I said, okay, let's look at your calendar. Let's see if we have alignment or is there misalignment? Do we need an adjustment somewhere? Yeah. Think of it like chiropractic. You're out of whack, right? So we're just going to adjust you back and get you back in alignment with your creator, with your spouse, with your kids, with the relationships that matter in your life. Because when you're aligned in your relationships, you now show up with more energy, more aliveness, more power, more creativity, more just better salesman or womanship. In your business, you attract more to you. You attract more financial abundance. But when you're misaligned and fragmented and divided in your relationships or broken in your relationships, you show up that way in your business and everyone sees it on you. They may not have language to articulate what's wrong with you right now, but they're seeing, yeah, something's off with this guy, especially a new prospect.
Yeah.
And they're like, I like her, but there's just something there I can't place that's just giving me the heebie-jeebies. You know what? No, thanks. I'm not going to move forward. Or let me think about it. And in sales, we wonder why they're saying, let me think about it. Like, can't they see this is exactly what they need? It's the solution for the problems. It's at the price that they wanted. Why are they still saying no to me? And so many times we don't make that connection. They're saying no to you because they're sensing something is off in your life and it's coming right through you and you don't know it, but they feel it.
Yeah.
And it's that question mark that makes them hold back and not hand you their credit card.
Yeah. It's funny. I talk about, there's two conversations going on all the time, right? It's the conscious one, blah, blah, blah. We're having the dialogue, right? And we're talking about whatever the topic is, but there's an unconscious conversation that's going on all the time. And you said it, and it's the example I always give, Joseph. It was so funny. I say, have you ever met someone where you think, oh, they're lovely, they seem nice, they're dressed professionally, they speak, you know, beautifully, all these things. But then in your gut, you go, but there's something off. You're not quite sure. You can't articulate it, but there's something off. And you think, oh, I don't think I want to work with that person. There's always these unconscious conversations that are happening. I agree 100%. And I include that with my programs as well, because you have to understand what you're emitting and where you're out of alignment. I agree 100%. The other thing, this show, Enlightenment of Change, right? For me, change is inevitable. Deal with it, right? But that's just life is change, period. Whether you choose it or it's thrust upon you, it's here all the time. So the show for me and guests like you, when we have our conversations, it's about, okay, change is here. How can I navigate it just a smidge easier, right? How can I go, you in your 20s, the blinders on, I'm not doing that. I'm doing this because I know best because I'm 20 something. Meanwhile, we know nothing. So the show for me and guests like you is, can you just hear what Joseph just said? Take that perspective just a smidge bigger. And all of a sudden you're seeing the world from a different vantage point, right? Maybe that blind spot now has a light shining on it. So that to me is what the show is about as well. What is the biggest lesson that you think you've learned through all of the life challenges? I'm going to use the word challenges, not failures, because I hate that word failure, but that the word challenge, and even your business situations. What is there one or two things that you think, yeah, man, this is what I truly learned and what resonates with me?
Through all the adversity in my life, the biggest lesson that I've learned is that I am not enough to take on the challenges of life. My strength is not sufficient. I've learned that the very thing that's needed in most of the challenges of life is the exact thing that I want to do least, which is to surrender. My little control freak.
I love it.
And to surrender it, not in the world's way of understanding the definition of surrender, which is hold up a white flag, give up, quit, lose, be a loser, etc.
Right.
That's the physical world. But in the spiritual realm, surrender is the very thing we're called to do. It's to let go of. It's to give it up. Upwards, vertical. It's to hand it over to the one, the only one who is in control of all the things outside of our control that we can't control, that we've been trying to control, that causes all the stress and anxiety in our life. That all comes from trying to control things that we can never control, nor were we meant to control.
True.
So when I look over my whole life, I would say the biggest lesson I take away is control is the problem. It's the biggest problem in all our lives. Our need to control, our need to play God in our own lives, in our relationships, in our businesses. And the solution to that number one problem in humanity is surrender in the spiritual sense. It's to say, God, this is too big for me. Yes, I have the way my human mind thinks I can go run with this, but I don't know if it's going to work out with certainty. I don't know if it's the best way. So I surrender this thing, this person, this relationship, this project to you. And I give you permission to remove my need to control that's in me in the name of Jesus. And you just hand it up. And every time I've done that, let go of my grip of control on whatever that thing is in my life. It has always worked out better. Good has always come from it. Yeah. And every time I have tried to control something in my life with the death grip and refused to give it up to God, it has worked out bad. It has hurt me. It has hurt others.
Yeah.
It just doesn't go well. So looking back on my whole life, that's the biggest lesson I take away is every time I show up like a little control freak that my humanity wants to be, I have a choice in the matter. Do I want to be right and be that little control freak that has all the answers? Or do I want to be happy? That's right. I want to be at peace? Do I want to feel love? Do I want to receive love? Do I want to have relationships that work? Do I want to die with zero regret?
Absolutely.
The areas of my life that matter. Okay, I choose surrender. That's simple.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It's so funny. Control is nothing but an illusion, right? Perfection doesn't exist. All of those things that we think we need to be, it's craziness. And it's funny when you say surrender verbally, sometimes I say that if it just situation is not going and I just feel like I'm swimming upstream, Joseph, I will say, I surrender. I surrender because I got no more. I have no more ideas and I can't keep going. And ironically, every time the answer comes or the solution was there, it was just hidden behind something because you were in control. What?
Why do you think that is, Connie? Why do you think that? Yeah. But why do you think the solution comes up right after you run out of yourself?
Because you surrender. You surrender to the higher power, and the higher power always has our back. We just have to learn how to put, I often say to my ego, okay, ego, thank you for protecting me. I could take it from here. I don't need you anymore. And that's when the divine comes in, right? I call it divine intervention, call it what you will, but that surrendering, it's just when you throw your hands up and think, whatever you think, I have to trust now. I just give you a real quick example. I remember when I first started this show, it was 8 years ago, and the producer said to me, Connie, it's the Jersey show. You can't just have people you know from Jersey. And I'm like, I don't know anybody else. I only know people from Jersey. And again, this was, you know, many years ago. And so I that night we're having dinner and I said to my husband, I have to get people outside New Jersey. He goes, well, how are you going to do that? I go, I don't have a clue, man. Like, I'm at a loss here. He says, what are you going to do? And I said, I surrender. It will present itself. The divine will come in. I have no idea. And I said, I surrender, just bring it to me. And I literally physically said, I'm ready. My arms are open. I will receive. And within 2 weeks, I had PR firms reaching out to me. I had a woman from Hawaii. I had another woman from Australia. And my husband, right, like 2 weeks later, he goes, how'd you do that? No clue. It found me. And it's like, phew. And we giggle every time it happened. And I know you do too, Joseph. We giggle like, how did that happen? It happened because you surrendered, you're open again. And physically, oftentimes I will open my arms. It's an emotional energy and energy shift where you open your arms. It's fascinating. But yeah, I know we're out of time. Really quick, guys. I think you all need more Joseph in your life personally. So I'm going to give you three ways to connect. Of course, I promise I will put it in the show notes. First one, if everything Joseph talked about today and you think, man, he's resonating, making sense. I think I want to pursue working with him from a coaching perspective. His business is blowuprocks.com. And that's your coaching program, right, Joseph?
That's correct. Blowuprocks.com. Okay.
And correct. If you want to follow Joseph, his podcast, where again, he gives it a free resource, it's inspirational content. I was on his show, by the way, go to josephwarren.net and you could find him there as well. Or if you just have a specific question that you're like, I don't know, reach out to Joseph direct. He's absolutely lovely. Go to his email, which is joseph@josephwarren.net. And Warren is W-A-R-R-E-N and it's .net, not .com. So check him out. What are the two? You have the two podcasts. Give them to me one more time, Joseph.
So you mentioned Broken Catholic, number one podcast on iTunes for Protestants and Catholics, because I do believe we can work together and learn from each other.
Go figure.
And then second is your first 100K, which is a top 100 podcast in entrepreneurship. And I bring on successful entrepreneurs like Connie to speak about how did you make your first $100,000? Because that's where I believe 90% of entrepreneurs get stuck, they get stopped, or they quit. They give up, and it's typically the mental game. It's all that negative self-talk, year one, two, and three. So if you want to find their, hear these entrepreneurs' top three tips and strategies that are practical and tactical to make your first six figures or seven figures, because I have seven, eight-figure people on the show as well, then go to, you can check out first100k.com or brokencatholic.com, whichever you prefer.
Yeah. And again, it'll be in the show notes, guys. So you can absolutely find Joseph. It's funny, Joseph, really making $100,000. And I know some people, that's like a foreign concept, but it's really kind of easy to make that first $100,000 if you get out of your own head. So yeah, again, resources. That's another thing I love about the podcast world is it's, you know, people can listen on their time, commuting to work, vacuuming, doing dishes, brushing your teeth, whatever it is, you really can fit it into your schedule and grow your mind. So again, check out Joseph. Again, questions, reach out to him directly at joseph@josephwarren.net. Joseph, thanks for being on. Always so good seeing you, my friends. Yeah, just thanks for the great, great story, being authentic and sharing the truth with people.
You're absolutely welcome, Connie. And if I could just say this, because it just came to me, a lot of high power women ask, Joseph, do you blow up rocks for women too? Or is it only for men? My answer is yes. And if you're a high power woman running a business, from the, and you're a faith-based woman, then definitely, visit blowuprocks.com and we could blow up some of the rocks in your head, blow up the rocks around your heart, maybe from childhood trauma, the rocks in your marriage, the rocks in your parenting, the rocks in your business. Yeah. If you want to blow up all these rocks once and for all, and it's not therapy or counseling, then give me a call, reach out to me, and we'll see if you're the right fit for my coaching.
Yeah. And just one more quick thing, Joseph. So you know that your female clients, they learn so much faster and better than men. I'm just saying, 100%. I'm just putting it out there.
Well, I'll be real with you because I'm glad you brought that up, right? So like my female clients, they get humble a lot quicker and they are a lot more coachable a lot faster.
Yeah.
And that makes them excel 100%. For my men, they've been raised in a society that taught them don't show feelings, don't show emotions. You get ridiculed, you get made fun of. If you feel as a man, it's toxic. Yeah. If you show up manly, it's toxic. So yeah, I have to blow up some of those rocks in their head that they've been conditioned their whole life with the men. So you women,
you're
100%.
Cute.
Connie's right. You're just better. God knew what he was doing, right?
I love it.
When God created man, that was the beta test. That was the minimal viable product. And then he created women as that final product of beauty. I love
you. You crack me up. I just love it. And I was really kidding, but I do in my career and with my clients that I work with, I find women are just more adaptable, maybe more coachable, more open-minded, whatever. But hey, guys, we love you. We love you, dude. So it's all good.
Listen, story, because you just brought that up. Like early into this calling, like God put on my heart, bring my sons back to me. That was the words I heard, and it's etched into my life as my calling. So bringing men back to God and to their wives and their kids, right? All this stuff. And every time I would market to guys, it just wasn't resonated. And I was like, God, like when I market to women, they just get it. They want to, you know, get better. They want to transform. They want to ask for help. Like, can I just keep marketing to women? Cause it's easier and it works. And men are just stubborn and resistant and they won't ask for help. Darn it. Jeez. And, you know, God really leaned me into the blow up rocks, branding.
I love it.
And get that now. Cause they're like, yeah, I want to blow up some rocks. I want to blow up some stuff, you know? Oh, so there's nothing wrong with me. I just got rocks in my life and we're going to blow them up together. It's like, yes, exactly. Let's go do that.
See the violence, blowing it up the rocks.
That's it. So anyway, Connie, I got to run. God love you, girl. Thanks. Thank you for letting me be on the show.
Our pleasure. And you guys, I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that no matter what change you're going through, my guests and I have your back. Thanks so much for joining. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all a wonderful, inspired week where change, you can embrace it and just move a little bit further in your life, and whatever that means to you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Take care.